You know, I'd ask for your prayers for me and for yourselves. I certainly need them. I feel unworthy. I don't feel prepared, and I've got a thought on my mind and where it goes. I don't know exactly how it'll end up, and I might be scattered. I just wish you'd pray for me and pray that God's blessings to be up on this service. I think about that song we just sang. Do we really see ourselves the way John Newton seen himself? You know, Paul said over in 1 Timothy, I believe it's the 15th, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, he said that he was the chief of sinners. He didn't say that he was the chief of sinners. He still considered himself, after he had been born of the Spirit of God and walked according to God's ways far better than I have, he still seen himself as a wretched sinner. And you know, it's amazing to me how people view sins. This song is truly amazing. First of all, sin is the subject on my mind this morning, but sin is a problem that we all deal with. We were born with the nature to sin, and soon we begin to sin. And I know we have that nature, and you know it also. You never went to school. You never went to college. You never sat under the tutelage of your parents, and they trained you on the best way to sin, the most effective sin that you could bring forth. Did you ever have any of that type of instruction from your parents or from a school that you attended? And yet, we're all professional sinners. I mean, we have brought it to a doctorate level. And it has an effect on our entire being, the people that we love, the people that we're around. I think about the song, it says, we are weak and worthless. Do you really believe that? John Newton was a captain of a slave ship. And when he went through his experience, he wrote these songs after he went through that experience. He didn't say, I was once poor, weak, and worthless. I was once wretched, as it is in Amazing Grace. He wrote that song also. He sent himself still to be in that condition. He said, I have a rich, almighty Savior. Jesus the Savior is his name. He freely loves and without end. We're told in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, for she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. There is no language in the entire Bible clearer and plainer than that verse, and yet vast numbers of Christians don't believe that. They don't believe that Jesus actually got the job done. But if he didn't get the job done, I'm here to tell you, we might as well pack it up and go on home right now. That's the truth. We got to understand what sin is and what it means in our lives and how difficult it is. We know today that God commanded us to assemble ourselves together and we're to provoke each other as we see the day coming in love. And encouragement. But we know that in every commandment. You know, it says the fourth commandment was remember the Sabbath. Keep it holy. What does it mean to keep the Sabbath holy? It means we're not flooded. Our minds are not flooded with sports. Not flooded with entertainment. How do you keep something holy if you bring that which is filth into your minds and into the house of God? My whole point is here is not to condemn anybody of that, just to realize that sins are a terrible thing in our life. We all are infected with a disease called sin, and we all need a Savior. And God commands us in many ways and many things that we just overlook and we, I believe, consciously forsake. It says, He ransomed me from hell with blood. If anybody's not in hell, it'll be because they were saved entirely and completely by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It won't be because one day they woke up on the right side of the bed and made a change in their life. If they made a change, you can be sure the Spirit of God touched their hearts before the change ever come to pass. Life always precedes actions. Does that mean we'll walk? Remember what Paul said? He said, I am the chief of sinners over in 1 Timothy 1 and 15. He didn't say, I once was a chief sinner. He said, I'm still the chief of sinners. I think John Newton felt the same way. He wrote these songs after he'd went through his work of grace in his heart and the great change that came in his life. And he's got multitudes of songs in here. And you ought to read the story of John Newton. I mean, he's a man who God touched and changed his life forever. I think he does the same thing with each and every one of us. It didn't mean we don't sin. That's what I want to get at, look at here in just a little bit this morning. And I'll try to explain as I go forward. It says, he found me wandering far from God and brought me to his chosen fold. I tell you, it's the same way with everyone. God touches a man's heart. He opens his heart. He's born of the Spirit of God. And then he has the ability to believe, to begin to learn. Does that mean he becomes an expert in it? A lot of us don't. I think we'll touch on that a little bit this morning. He says, he cheers my heart, my want supplies, and says that I shall shortly be enthroned with him above the skies. Oh, what a friend Christ is to me. That's a prettiest song, when the words, if you think about your condition and your sins. Let's take just a minute and look in Genesis, and we all know the story over there that in verse 16, the Lord God commanded the man, being Adam, we're going back to the first man and the first woman, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. He said, you can eat it as often as you want it. You can have as much of it as you want. But there's one tree that you can't eat of. That's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he says, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. We know for a fact that they didn't die a natural death, but they did die in their relationship with God, you might say, there, because sin came and entered into the world. There's never been anyone save the Lord Jesus Christ that has been sinless upon this earth. And I don't care how many times you've been to church. I don't care when you were born of the Spirit of God. If you believe you're not a sinner today, and you will continue to be a sinner to some degree, you may not sin as much as you did, or you may, most likely what we have is a different type of sinning, but a very more, our conscious awareness of sin is a lot greater when we're born of the Spirit of God. It doesn't hinder us. It doesn't bother us. We're told in 1 John chapter 1, in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth's not in us. Now, like I said, I just hope I can bring my thoughts together where I begin this week. We believe in the Primitive Baptist Church that Jesus died for all the sins of all who were under consideration, those that were given to him by the Father. Now, we know that back over in Genesis, and we'll get back to that in a minute, that Eve was deceived by Satan. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband, and he did eat. That verse tells us a whole lot. Unfortunately, sin oftentimes is desirable and pleasant to the eye. Isn't that terrible? It was to her. She was deceived, but it's that way today. And I know folks that have succumbed to temptation. Folks that are God-fearing people that you would have never believed in your life could have happened to. Don't think for one minute you're going to become so righteous in this life that you can't sin. The only time sin will cease in your life is when you close and this natural body dies and is planted in the or put in the heart of the earth and your spirit goes home to be with the Lord. What a day that will be. And I'll let you know why I'm telling that in just a moment. Let me get there. This past week, Suzanne came home. She has a friend who I will not name. The names don't matter. It's like that show said, you know, they don't give the names to protect the innocent. But I'm not going to give a name, but she conveyed to her that she had a daughter not too long ago that told her that she was gay. And this was fairly devastating. Like I said, it doesn't matter who they was. This is something that we're seeing more openly today and manifested in this country more than we have. Not that it's any more popular, there's any more of that sin going on today than there ever was. But she held that back, and finally, sometime later, not a lot later, she told the father of this daughter. And this father said, she's going to hell. That was the first thoughts he had of his daughter. Sent her a bunch of verses. I'm going to tell you something. We have something better than that. We have promises made on a greater foundation than that. I want you to know I'm not here to condone that sin. Matter of fact, I'd have a hard time with the way I reacted to it. I think you would too. But I'd have a hard time reacting to anything. For example, you all are aware that 2 years ago my cousin was murdered by her son in cold blood. He sits in a jail cell in Houston, Texas. You talk about sin. Sin is a problem. We're infected with it. It's a disease. And not only when we sin do we affect ourselves, oftentimes it affects hundreds. It can affect tons of people for many miles. The consequences of sin are great. You know, you may suffer and have pain from the sin that you committed. The Bible says, what a man sows, he shall reap. The Bible says that the child of God has a battle between the lust of the spirit and the flesh. And they're contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And you know, that sounds kind of weird in that language, but it means if you walk after the flesh, you cannot please the Spirit. You cannot please God. If you walk after the Spirit, you'll never please the flesh, because the flesh wants nothing to do with God. But I ask you today, as a child of God, as someone born of the Spirit of God, called out of darkness, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. You know what it says over in Ephesians 1 and 4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Isn't that amazing? There's a word in there, without blame, that we all ought to take hold of. God sees you as blameless because you've been covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're blameless. And yet we could be blamed for numerous sins. The thing that you need to understand is God's the same today as he ever has been, and he'll be the same tomorrow. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We find comfort in that. I don't condone homosexuality. I don't condone murder. I don't condone adultery. I don't condone any fornication. But let's get real. It happens. And nowadays, a lot of those sins that we didn't hear so much about when I was a kid 40 or 50 years ago are being manifested more openly. Let's say that. I mean, we can go back to Sodom and Gomorrah and realize this has been a prominent sin down through the ages. I ask you, can the child of God, are there certain sins that'll send a child of God to hell from being in the security? I don't believe there is. Jesus said in John 17 and 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Furthermore, he says they shall never perish. That either means that when you're born again, you cease to sin. And I'm not saying that one sin is worse than the other, because every sin that you sin in your life had to be paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, or you will not go to heaven. It puts it in a whole and completely different light. Now, when you get back to Genesis and God kicked the man and the woman out of the garden, he drove them out. Notice what it says, and God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. A lot of people don't finish reading the rest of the chapter. It's only three verses. They'll say, well, you just take hold of the tree of life. The tree of life represents Jesus Christ. And yet Jesus said in John 6 and 44, no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. He said they cannot come. They will not come. He says over in John 5, and they will not come to me that they might have life. He told the Jews that, and we're no different. We're no different. We're all under sin. We're all sinners, and we're all guilty. And he goes on, he says, therefore the Lord sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove the man and placed him at the east end of, drove out the man and placed at the east end of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. First of all, he says, you've got to get a hold of the tree of life. But he says, I'm putting some cherubims and a sword, that completely flaming sword that completely surrounds the tree of life, being the Lord Jesus Christ. You have no ability on your own to take that. And I don't want to try to get too far away from my subject, and I could, but they became sinners then. They sinned against God. They had one commandment. One commandment. Just don't eat of that tree. And what'd they do? They did. It was pleasant to the eye. It was desirable. How often has sin been pleasant to our eyes or desirable? How often have you done something in your life that you knew was wrong and it ate on you? You know, that's the problem I had with sin. I told Brother Darrell this morning, I said, sin's about to wear me out. Because it does. I just get so tired and worn of our sins, and we continue to sin, and I just know that it's wrong, and I know it offends God. Our offenses are against God. They're not against, they affect other folks, but they're against God, and it's just, it hurts my soul to do those things, and yet I continue to do them. And I know the Bible says, if you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself, and the truth's not in you. You know, there have been people that will tell you that they are no longer sinners. They'll talk about sinners as though they don't sin. But friends, if you go to Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord says, if a man looketh upon a woman and lusteth after her, he commits adultery in his heart. In the eyes of God, it's the same as the actual adultery committed by the actions of a man. He knows the secret sins of our heart. You may not know the secret sins of my heart or a lot of other folks, but I'm going to tell you the Lord knows. And it ought to make a difference in our life. It ought to make a difference in how we live and how we think. You know, we're not going to get to the point that we don't sin, but you know, the Bible does say that if we confess our sins unto the Lord, He is faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do we openly confess our sins? We ought to. I mean, and we need to, you know, I can't even remember all my sins, but we need to confess our sins and go and pray, God, forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sins are a hindrance to our life. I'm sure you know, as I said, someone that committed a sin of some kind, and it's had a broad effect on a lot of people. You know, I can give you an example. Maybe when a husband and a wife don't get along any longer, and they begin, one of them begins to have an affair, we're all aware of these things that happen in life, and they end up going down a different road, getting a divorce. How much effect does that have on their children? That's part of what's wrong with this country. Sin affects not only the person that actually committed the sin, but it has far-reaching effects on many other folks. And it's not just divorce. We're not going to get into all those sins. I just want to make a point that you understand. Is there some sins that are so unforgivable that they will send the person who's been called out of darkness into his marvelous light to eternal burning hell because he committed that sin? I'm here to tell you right now. If homosexuality or murder or fornication or adultery will send you to hell, then there ain't a sin out there that won't send you to hell. Because if we commit one sin, James says we're guilty of the entire law. Matter of fact, James says if you're a respecter of persons, if you have a prideful attitude towards somebody over somebody else, you've committed a sin. And I don't care if you look at that sin on the same level as murder or homosexuality or whatever you look at it, I'll tell you one thing. That sin has to be covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, just as those others do, or you're not going to heaven. You have to be perfect to go to heaven. You can't pay for a sin. I can't pay for a sin. She brought forth her son. They called his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You know, I don't like sin, and I'm not here to touch on it, but it talks about all sins. Let's go to Romans chapter 1, and we're going to talk about that sin that is so bad, you know, and it's something we don't even want to talk about, but it's very prevalent in the society that we have today. And I want to make a point here, too. This kind of goes to society, but it's not really about it. It's just an illustration. In America today, what we have that's called news is really not news any longer. And I tell you this because there was a time that real news was based on facts, not the way a man feels, not some narrative that he comes up with, not because of his emotions, but that's where most of it is today. It's not based on facts. It's based on lies or how some people feel. And I know that to be a fact. There's been so much of it retracted over the last several years, it's unbelievable. But I'm going to tell you, same thing happens with the Bible. Same thing. People don't like what God said. You have the only book of facts that exists in the entire world in the 66 books that make up the canon of Scripture called the Bible. These are the facts. Not how you feel. Not what your emotions are. Not what you wish was happening. Not some narrative you come up with. Let's stand to the facts. Jesus said He shall save His people from their sins. Is that any sin? Is that every sin? I certainly hope it is, because I believe that any sin that's not forgiven, Any sin that's not covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, regardless of what it is, will send us to an eternal burning hell. And we have promises made upon a greater and a better foundation than that. Upon the foundation of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. His death was not in vain. His death accomplished what the Father intended Him for Him to accomplish. He said, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me of all which he hath given me. I shall lose nothing but raise him up at the last day. Well, we know that they're not sinless, those that are embraced and that were given to him by the Father. Does that mean that there's certain sins? I'm not here to condone sin, period. I'm telling you. These sins that I'm talking about are not pleasant to the ear, but they're real. They're sins we deal with every day. You know, can you imagine the heartbroken folks they are because they believe that some person committed some sin as a child of God and now they're going to burn in a living hell because they couldn't keep the law? We're told in Romans chapter 3, now the righteousness of God is manifest without the law. Romans 3, Acts 21, verse 22. And now the righteousness of God is manifest without the law, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. What's he talking about there? Jesus Christ, he is our righteousness. He is, God is righteousness. And it was manifest when he came. They couldn't keep the law. The Jews in Romans 10 were going about because of ignorance, trying to establish their own righteousness, not submitting to the righteousness of God. For Jesus Christ is the end of the law to everyone that believeth. He is our righteousness. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You were clothed with Jesus' righteousness. Does it not cover every sin? Like I said, how do you live your life? Because we're sinners. We all are. You know, and we don't know what you've sinned. We might know some outward sin, but we don't know the sins of your heart. But I assure you, the Lord knows. He knows every thought you have before you think it. I tell you, we have a foundation among the old Baptists, and I don't believe there's that many out here that believe different, that, you know, we're going to go to heaven based entirely on what Jesus done and not what we've done. We believe that our sins, past, present, and future, are all forgiven. Does that mean that we don't have any consequences? No. And I'll give you an example of that here just in a little bit. In Romans chapter 1, it began to say that he began up here by in verse 20 and told us that there's not a man born upon the earth. Now, this doesn't mean all of God's children, but he said there's something in every man that's ever been born that tells them there is a God. And what that is by the eyes, by seeing what exists out here in this world, that it wasn't something random. There is a God. This wasn't something that just happened and a spark flew together. I mean, and they're without excuse, Paul says. But down in verse 25, here's where we see these things happening. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. Than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. And he goes through that. Women with women, men with men. And I'm not going to take a lot of time. We all know what that is. They burned in their own lust and he gave them over to a reprobate mind. But when you get down to the end of Romans chapter 1, let's notice all the other sins that come along with that. Being filled with all unrighteousness. That's us. Being filled with all unrighteousness. I ask you today, if homosexuality or murder would send you to hell, why won't idolatry? How many people have sports in this country as their number one idol? I'm telling you, a major amount of folks. And I'm not here to condemn anybody. I'm no better than anybody else, but let's get real. Anything that comes before our God in our heart is an idol. Thou shalt have no other gods, the first commandment given. Have we, any of us, ever broke that? That means anything, not just sports. It means entertainment. It means anything you got in life, work too. If work is flooding your mind and you're not keeping the Sabbath holy because of anything in this world, aren't you thankful that we're not going to be excluded from heaven and kicked out and cast out because we're not perfect and sinless? If we could have done that, Jesus would have never had to come. would have never had to come. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, I mean backbiters, haters of God, he goes on. You could go over there and look at the works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5. You know, he began with homosexuality, but look at all these. Which sin is the worst? Which sin keeps you out of heaven? We're all sinners. If you have a bad thought about someone, you committed a sin. I ask you where we would be if we believed certain sins would cost us from going to heaven. There wouldn't be anybody going to heaven. I'm honest. The person that tells you he has no sin committed a sin right then. Pride has gotten elevated into that man to the point he doesn't understand himself. You know, pride is a terrible sin. But there are people, I understand, that'll tell you they don't sin. I can't imagine that. I don't know. Maybe they don't know what's in the Bible. You know, I said this is a book of facts. It's not a book of narratives. This is not a book of ideas based on emotions. It's based on facts. And that was the example I was using today in our news. But there are many Christians who don't take the facts, don't reconcile the Bible, don't rightly divide the word of truth. You can't have a Bible and tell you that it's God's truth and God's word if you find one contradiction after the other. And unless you rightly divide the word of truth, unless you're looking to bring reconciliation to the scriptures, that's what you're going to find. That's what you're going to find. We're sinners. And I'm going to tell you, we needed a Savior and we need him today. And I wish to goodness, I wish beyond all I could say that when I was born of the Spirit of God, I ceased to sin. But I didn't. And I have not ceased sinning as of today. And I don't care what sin you committed. If any sin will keep you out of heaven, all sins will keep you out of heaven, regardless of which one you committed. If they were not covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at that for just a minute in Hebrews chapter 10. Chapter 10 begins to go back and look at the Old Testament law service. Some people, you know, 504 times the Old Testament is quoted in the New Testament. And yet some people don't give much attention to the Old Testament. I'm telling you, the same truth exists there as exists in the New Testament. You know, it said that in Romans chapter 3 that the righteousness of God is now manifest without the law, with the law and prophets being witnessed by the law and prophets. That tree of life we spoke about in Genesis spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the tree of life. He is the giver of life. He is life himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the life. It says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. The key word there is those that were coming to make sacrifices, and I don't care what sacrifice you're making, how it is or what it is, could never make you perfect. And do you know that if you ain't made perfect, you'll not go to heaven? I ask anyone to honestly tell me that they can help to make themselves perfect. We're talking about righteous. We're filled with all unrighteousness. Notice what Isaiah said over there. In Isaiah chapter 64, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. In your best state, you're filth in the sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. That tells me that we're really not very righteous. And we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Friends, that's every one of us. By the grace of God are we saved. You know, a lot of people have problems with what we as Primitive Baptists believe. I guess they believe that, you know, you can become righteous. We find in chapter 5 of Romans, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. In verse 6 starts off, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? I'm here to tell you, I wish we could walk a righteous path all of our lives, but we don't. We will do something wrong all the way up to the year that we die. You know, he said when he made the new covenant, and he told them about it in Hebrews chapter 8. I love the words here. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. This is the work of the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Aren't you thankful that Jesus, the God that we serve, having his omniscience, knowledge, knowing all things, knows of every sin that you would commit from the time you were born to the time you die, and they were covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Like I said, there are sins taking place today that I just can't hardly swallow. But nonetheless, sin is sin. And that's why Jesus Christ had to come. And if you're a child of God, regardless of what sin you commit, I don't believe you'll be cast out of heaven into hell. It says a minister of... let me get back to the second verse in 10. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? If the comers were made perfect that offered these sacrifices, would they not have ceased to be offered? Because the worshipers would have once... they'd be purged? And it says they should have no more conscience of sins? In other words, it couldn't make the comers perfect. Nothing you and I do can make ourselves perfect or even add to that perfection. But this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sins, not sin, sins, forever sat down at the right hand of God. That's so important. Never forget that. Because in the Old Testament, once a year, the high priest went into the most holy of holies to offer up a sacrifice for himself and for the people. But there was no chair in there. Because they were continual year after year in a way of remembrance. But when Jesus entered in that veil, when he offered up himself and God accepted his offer and he finished that work, he forever sat down at the right hand of God because it's finished. It's over. Verse 14 says in chapter 10, for by one offering, the offering of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. They were made perfect by the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't like these sins any more than you do. And it seems as though as what's happened with us, as time has went on and as our country has changed, the openness of sin has been unbelievable. Many people have no bother by the sin. It's so open. They've taken the truth of God and they've changed it into a lie. It don't matter what sin you commit. If you continue to commit it, it's because you don't want God to be in your thoughts. You want to do what you want to do. You want to be your own God. But in Matthew chapter 12, and I'm going to close here after I read a few verses here. In Matthew 12, if I can find where I'm looking for, it says, all manner, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. All the things that were said about Jesus Christ by those from whom he died for will be forgiven. That's an amazing thing in itself, isn't it? But those who called Jesus Beelzebub, called him Satan, and that's what many of the Jews did. That was a sin against the Holy Ghost, against the Father. Because Jesus didn't die for them. Jesus died for those that were given to him by the Father. But all manner of sins forgiven. You may not forgive murder that somebody committed. You may not forgive adultery, fornication, homosexuality. You may not forgive it. But aren't you thankful God does? Aren't you thankful that if you know a loved one that was in your life, that it wasn't left up to you to be their judge and jury? Aren't you thankful that maybe you have a little bit of what John Newton had in him and you see how poor, weak, and worthless you really are, how wretched you really are, and how you need a Savior that saved you from all your sins, not just some of your sins? I tell you, folks that don't have this understanding, they're not grounded in this great truth. It's a sad day for them, and there's a lot of them that way. Jesus told us in John chapter 8, he said, he was speaking to those Jews that believed on him. He said, if you continue in my word, he's talking about study, reading, hearing the word preached. He says, you will be my disciples indeed. A disciple was a pupil or a learner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth doesn't give us nothing but a blessing that we ought to have. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I hope today we're all of a sound mind. And as much as I cannot stand some of these sins that are being committed today and always have, but openly manifested. And you know, sometimes they come home to roost. I hate to say that, but we all know people and families and situations that these sins and many others have come home to roost. Things going on in life that we know is not right. That tells me that you are a child of God when it bothers you. When sin bothers you, your own sin and the sins of someone else. Because God has given you a conscious awareness of what's wrong and what's right. But aren't you thankful that those that you love and those that you want to be with, even though they have not lived up to the standards that you would have them to live, and neither have we, that they're not going to be cast into eternal burning fire because they committed one of these sins. I'm here to tell you, Jesus saved his people from their sins. And that's a fact. That's what the Bible teaches. And not a one of them shall ever perish. He said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. He says, I know them and they follow me and I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. He does never say in these verses, they shall never sin again. He says they'll never perish. And no man's able to pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Immediately they took up stones to stone him. That has never been a popular doctrine, and it isn't popular with a lot of folks today. But you know, it broke my heart when Suzanne began to tell me these things, you know, and I just think, what a burden to carry in your life. I wouldn't have liked it anymore if it happened to me, and I'm not here to say it couldn't happen to me. A lot of things have happened to me in my life that I thought only happened to other people. But I've lived long enough to realize that it can come home to roost right where you are. Things can happen, it'll blow you away. But aren't you thankful that we have a place called heaven secured for us by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? And one day we won't have these problems. We won't have these sins to contend with. They can be weary and burdensome in our life. But we have a Savior, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he saved us from all our sins. May God bless us to never forget that.